Well, hello again. It's our pleasure to be here. I spoke with Mr. Myers not too long ago, and looks as though we'll still be able to be coming for the next several months. We're planning on being here for Passover and the first day of Unleavened Bread, and several times in between. So I guess you're stuck with us for a little bit anyway. Trying to help out in the situation, which they're very concerned about at the home office, and wanting to serve you as part of the body of Christ. It's a great blessing. Now, I did mention an announcement, so I don't know if they all got to you, but if you'd like to, we can have another discussion afterwards. So as we go through the sermon, if you've got big question marks or comments or something you'd like to add to some of the thoughts that we're going through here, maybe jot them down and you can bring it up. And if nobody has anything to say, well, just go eat. And that may be your choice. But I it does not look like a potluck back there. It looks more like what we like to term things in Phoenix when we were there for so many years, a gourmet buffet. Doesn't that sound better? Yeah. So I'll look forward to your gourmet buffet. So what is human nature? Is human nature good? Is it bad? How many places in the Bible is human nature mentioned? Well, it depends on your translation, but if you've got a King James Version or most of them, not mentioned anywhere specifically. You look at some of the newer translations, the Good News will mention human nature. Most versions call it the carnal mind when referring to some of the concepts of human nature. Is human nature all bad? Can you think of anything good without the Holy Spirit? Did God create human nature? Can we actually become more like God by understanding human nature and what it is? And how might we go about becoming more like God by understanding the aspects, the good, the bad, and the ugly of human nature? Now, we will talk about that specifically, but in part two. This is part one. And part two, you have to come back in January when we're here. Do we have a role in controlling human nature? Or is it impossible? Looked up definitions of human nature, and the one from Psychology Today, I think, says a lot. Psychology Today magazine states that human nature is one of those things that everybody talks about, but no one can define precisely. So that's about right. So just what is this thing called human nature? Can we fight the bad? Or can we use the good parts of human nature to become more like Christ and develop more of God's nature? How does the Bible discuss human nature? And that's really what we're interested in, because you can have man's thoughts, and obviously because of human nature, man's thoughts are not always in line with God. So I've come up, and this is my assessment. You can agree or disagree with it. We'll go through some scriptures to talk about these concepts. But I came up with three categories of human nature that the Bible, I think, pretty clearly defines. One is the people who totally reject God and want nothing to do with God, develop their own ways, choose their own way. And that's bad and evil. And there's a really, really bad part of human nature, as we know, when we look around at many of the famous people like Stalin and Hitler and Genghis Khan and that type of thing. Secondly, there are, and I think this would talk about most of people in the world, would be those who absorb the good and the bad of human nature and those around them, and then choose and act accordingly. Now we'll discuss these concepts, and I'll just discuss the three areas we're going to talk about today. But the second one is those who absorb the good and bad around them and then act or respond accordingly. And then the third are those who live to do God's will. It's their very purpose, their goal, it's what drives them. And it's those who resist evil and absorb God's Holy Spirit. And that would be those called. So we'll talk about those three, those that reject God, those that absorb the good and the bad things around them and then make choices about whether they want to go one way or the other, and those who live to do God's will, and that's their main purpose and goal. So number one, let's talk about those who totally reject God and choose their own way, and according to the scripture, defines that aspect of what we're talking about as human nature. Mark chapter 7, in verses 21 and 22, and some of these will come to your mind when you're saying, well, is human nature bad? Well, yeah, can be. Mark 7:21 from the New Living Translation, it says, from within, out of a person's heart. And then it goes on and it talks about evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, wickedness, and all those things that we look at and we say, wow, that's the worst part of an individual. And some people seem to have no redeeming qualities, but out of a person can be all of these bad things, and some have more or less than others, and we'll get that to number two. Romans 8 verse 7, it plainly says the carnal mind is enmity against God. And I'd say human nature certainly comes, the carnal mind, man's mind, comes out of, you know, carnivorous, the flesh, and comes out of our brain, okay, in our heart. He says, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. How is it saying that unless you have God's Holy Spirit and you're one of those that are called, well, you can't please God? Well, when you look at the context of these things, it's those people that's what their main focus is. That's what they're just going after, their own desires, and they don't want nothing to do with good. And you can't please God unless you've got to want to do the right thing. Psalm chapter 14, we've got to look at these scriptures that say, hey, you know, there's no good in man. You say, well, if there's no good in man, then you've got to have God's Holy Spirit to have any good. Well, we'll see that that's not really the case. But we're defining a group of people here, specifically, in Psalm 14, verse 1, the Good News Translation says, fools say to themselves, there is no God. And they put it in God's face, and they curse him, and want nothing to do with him, and just want to go their own way. They're all corrupt, and they've done terrible things, and there's no one who does what is right. And if you're going against God, you're not doing the right thing. No, we'll see. Even atheists can do good things. So it's not saying that a person isn't capable of any good, but if it's that frame of mind, those who outright reject God, that's the worst of human nature. And it says, verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven at us humans to see if there are any who are wise, any who worship him. But they've all gone wrong. They're all equally bad. None of them does what's right, not a single one. Now, is this saying that there's no good in human nature? You can't have a good thought if you don't have God's Spirit? If you look at Genesis chapter 6, you see a situation here where God created people and they ended up going this direction, and eventually most ended up here. Now, rejecting God leads to more and more evil. That doesn't mean that everybody's bad. We're going to see that. But rejecting God leads, look at evil Israel. You know, they went and they had good times when they were worshiping God to the best of their ability, but then they started worshiping the idols that were being talked about in the sermonette. And they became more and more evil, and you had the Manasseh, you know, who offered his children on the fire, and like really, really evil. Sodom. God couldn't find 10 people good enough to save the city. Noah's time. So let's look at Noah's time here in Genesis 6, verse 5. And that Bible says, "But the Lord saw the wickedness of humankind had become great on the earth." Wasn't it everybody was evil all the time initially, but the more you reject God, the more and more your human nature is going to be bad. It says, "Every inclination, the thoughts of their minds was only evil all the time." Now, does that describe everybody on earth right now? Do you have friends or relatives that are nice people? We live in a pretty nice neighborhood, and the people there, they've got carnal nature like everybody else, but nice people. Help each other out. It is not describing this here. Is there no good in carnal human nature? Well, if you look even in context in Genesis 6, verse 8, it says, "But with all that, the only evil, only thing in their hearts was evil." It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and 8 people." So when it says no one, there were 8 people that were okay and were not destroyed. It says, last part of verse 9, "Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." So there was good going around, but there were only a few people by the time that everybody had just rejected God, and like it was just total chaos. I like Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. I think this is kind of the summary verse, if you will, of this first section in the easy-to-read version. But Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29. And I think this kind of sums things up here about human nature. Solomon says, "There's one other thing I've learned. God made people good, but they have found many ways to be bad." And so a person chooses. God didn't create evil human nature. We create our own natures through decisions we make. And our nature can get worse and worse. Our nature can be kind of neutral, or with God's Spirit, can be very good. God gives us the ability to improve or corrupt our human nature through free will. Now, we're affected and influenced, every one of us, by our upbringing. Some of you are raised with very God-fearing people, whether they were in the church or not, you know, that went to church every Sunday even, or and wouldn't hurt a fly, and honest as the day is long, on a handshake, you make deals. Some good things, and if that was the influence that you had, chances are you've picked up some of that even before conversion. Society has an effect on us. Our surroundings, where we came from, what happened to us, teachings, experience, all of those things we absorb in one way or the other, for the good or for the bad. And God says we have choices when those things come up. Okay, so now let's go into category two. And I think many, or maybe even most people, fall into category two. Category one was those that just reject God and they've got sin, evil. Category two, those who absorb the good and the bad around them and then choose and do accordingly. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and this is what God is telling Israel, who was not converted, who, except for a few, didn't have God's Spirit. And he tells them in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11, this is from the New Century Version, Deuteronomy 30 verse 11, he says, "This command I give you today is not too hard for you." And so he's telling an unconverted group of people that this isn't too hard for you. You can handle this. He said, "It is not beyond what you can do." Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 30, he says, "See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil." Verse 6, "And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments." The only real way to please God is to follow his way and to do good. Chapter 30 and verse 19, he says, "I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." And he said, if you make wrong choices, they're going to have consequences. But individuals are given a choice of what to do and how to live. Proverbs 4, verse 23, I'll just quote it, but it says, "Be very careful to keep your mind safe." So every person, and this is the Proverbs are written to anybody willing to read and to listen, and it's a great principle that be very careful to keep your mind safe. Think about what you do and how you're going to react. The thoughts that you think make the person you are. So you're going to act well or not. And it depends. There, some of you have maybe raised in an alcoholic family and maybe very, very bad circumstance, and you had the choice to either become like your parent or to choose to be different than your parent. And it was a choice in your life. And there would be an effect, and you hopefully chose the right way in all kinds of different circumstances in life. And we have the right to choose. God says it right there. James 1 verse 14, I'll just read that too. But James 1 14 says, "Each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. That desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin." You do not react badly to every bad desire. You know, "I'd just like to kill that person." You don't really mean that, but it's... But you don't. Okay? You choose to not react according to as your nature would like to do. Some people do react and have no thought of doing good. That's that first category. But we have a choice. And we can make that choice even without God's Spirit working in us. We'll go on here and see some more things the Scripture has to say. So we can make good and bad choices. Luke chapter 10 and verse 36. Luke 10:36, and this is that famous story of Good Samaritan. Luke 10:36, Jesus asked the teacher of God's law a question. He said, three men saw that the man that was lying on the ground. He says, which of them showed love to him like a real friend? In this story where the two had gone by and the Good Samaritan stopped and helped him. And he answered, it was a man who was kind to him. And then Jesus said to him, so should you go and do the same for other people. You have a choice. You can see somebody that's in need, really in need. You can help them, or you can walk away and say, don't care. And we have a choice. And even people without God's Spirit have a choice to help. You've probably been helped by people who just stopped and helped you by the side of the road. Some of those may have been angels, you've seen those stories too. But we can choose to do good. And I think we have to be careful sometimes by calling people that do good, well, they're not in the church, so they're only doing it for a wrong reason or whatever. I've heard that said about like Mother Teresa, and yeah, she was Catholic and she kept the wrong days and that type of thing. But she only did that because she wanted recognition or that. You don't know her heart. And so a person does good, great. You look at all the people that helped those in World War II at their own risk to get out of the areas that would have been taken to a concentration camp. And stories, and people have done some good things, and I think they should be praised and recognized for that. Don't think, well, they're not in the church, so they can't do good, or they got a bad heart. That's between them and God. We have to be careful calling good evil. It says Isaiah 5:20, what are those that call evil good and good evil? Romans chapter 2, and I think this is a very important verse as we're talking about human nature and the ability to just what God built into us to do good and to do bad. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. The Living Translation here says, even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. Okay, so there are people that can know that's a good thing to do or that's a bad thing to do. And I think most people have that instinct to know good or bad, even if they're not called or even if they don't understand the commandments. Verse 15, it says, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or they tell them they're doing right. Is that there is an instinct in people. Because God said when God created man, he said, and woman, he said, it was good. That's a big mistake. Okay. Said it was good. Now I'll deal with them as they turn bad. Okay. Believer's Bible Commentary says about Romans 2:14, this Believer's Bible Commentary, it says, now Paul explains that although the law was not given to the Gentiles, yet they have an innate knowledge of right and wrong. And I think overall that's true of humans. They know instinctively that it's wrong to lie, steal, commit adultery, murder. And then this guy, in his comments, he said, goes, he's right. He said, the only commandment they would not know intuitively is the one concerning the Sabbath. And of course, this guy goes on saying, well, that's the reason we don't have to keep the Sabbath. But anyway, human nature. My wife and I watched it's a pretty new movie on Amazon, Calamity Jane. And I like Westerns and like history of the Old West and all that. So here's Calamity Jane. And it's the story that you're probably all, or many of you, familiar with, of Wild Bill Hickok. It's easy for me to say. Wild Bill Hickok in Deadwood, South Dakota, was playing a card game, and Jack McCall comes in and shoots him in the back. I've been to that bar a couple of times in my life. But Wild Bill Hickok is dead. And Calamity Jane, some say that they were married, others say that Bill didn't have that much in it. But anyway, in this movie, she goes to the Undertaker and says, will you put on Wild Bill's headstone that he was a good man? And the Undertaker says, was he? And she says, he wanted to be. And actually, there was another Western that I saw on the way over here on the plane yesterday. And in this one, it was Monfort, the Indian guy that owned most of the land up in Oklahoma at one point, a cattleman. And his dad left him when he was young. His dad came back years and years later, and he wouldn't have anything to do with him. He says, you were a bad dad. You know, Mom, he said, I was a good dad. I took care of my kids. I didn't abandon them. I protected them. I was a good dad. You were a bad dad. He could recognize the difference between a good dad and a bad dad. And he tried to be a good dad. So it's what nature itself teaches you, good and bad. People, you know, even cheating on your wife or your husband is something that's looked down on. Either people that, you know, you get upset and they kill the guy that cheated. You know, anyway. And people know instinctively it's wrong to lie and it's wrong to steal. Now, people will steal, they will lie as they choose to do beyond what they know is right. Treat people well. It's kind of built in a way. Matthew 7:11, when Jesus was talking to the man, he said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, he says, how much more the Father in heaven will give to those that ask him. And he said, even evil people know kind of instinctively their human nature. There's a difference between good and bad. Now, there are those who seem to have no in the Monfort movie, for example. There was a sergeant, and I don't have a lot of that was based on fact, but anyway, he was a bad guy, and he would shoot people, he'd steal. He seemed to have no conscience whatever. And so those that just don't even think about being good and say, please have mercy. But most people are instinctively, you know, it said you have to be converted to do good. So children, obey your parents, one of the commandments. Are they converted? Do they have God's Spirit? Well, obey your parents. Yeah, they can obey their parents. So in other words, you don't have to have God's Spirit to do some of the basic good things. So, you know, I can't say all people are just bad unless they're in the church. It's pretty judgmental. But people can do good things and be good people without being converted. Still, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all fall short. We all don't do everything we should and how we should. Luke chapter 18, verse 11, remember, well, this is the story of the Pharisee who was standing there praying, and he said, I tithe all I own. I give to the poor. He said, I'm a good guy. I'm great. I'm not an adulterer like that guy over there. I'm not evil. And then the other guy said, oh, forgive me, God, I'm a sinner. I need your help. And Jesus said, who went away justified? So you can do good things, but still not have the right attitude behind it. Human nature is a little complicated. This whole thing is somewhat difficult to nail down to one thing or the other. But, you know, you find most religions, and I'd say for the most part, want to do good things in their religion. Buddhism has some good principles about treating people well and so forth. But it doesn't mean they're converted and doing everything the way God wants. I mean, as the sermonette was pointing out, Isaiah chapter 29, Isaiah 29, verse 13, says, the Lord said, these people claim to worship me, but their words are meaningless and their hearts are somewhere else. So you can do good things and still not do it for the right reasons. And your human nature taking you in a different direction than God wants you to go. Their religion is nothing but human rules and traditions which they've simply memorized. The Jews understood the Sabbath, but either they don't keep it or they do it and have their traditions put in it and make their human reasoning their traditions. You know, like you can't swat a fly and, or you can't swat a mosquito unless it bites you first, and some of those things that, you know, to them it's good and it's righteous. Christians keep the Sabbath, but according to their traditions, and on Sunday. So the human nature allows you to go only so far unless you fully accept God into your life. And that's, as we'll get to number three here in a minute. Something else to consider, can evil people do good things? Or should we reject everything that doesn't come from the church because people are evil, and how can we possibly learn anything from somebody that's not in the church? There's a thought, and that may be some of your thoughts, and that, I don't know, maybe you're correct in that, but there are those that say, well, you should only read things from the United Church of God, or only, you know, the church, and you shouldn't, nobody else can know anything because they're not converted. Is that really so? Or if somebody is evil, you can't accept anything that they've done that's good. Would you read anything that came from a person who was a homosexual, bisexual, murderer, totally corrupt, but yet had something published that you say, well, he published that, so it can't be any good. The most popular book in the world was caused to be published by King, who? King James. You look into King James' life, he was an awful person. Okay, I can't read that Bible because he caused it to be. He didn't have anything to do with what's inside of it. But it's called the King James Bible because he had it done. So, no, you don't want to do what King James did, but, you know, it would be a little bit like, and I think saying, well, we shouldn't read a commentary because that person wasn't in the church, didn't have God's Spirit. You can't learn anything from a commentary. Yeah, you can. Yeah. But there's a discernment that we need to have when we have God's Spirit to go through and say, okay, well, hey, that's very interesting. Or, nope, that's going the wrong direction. We need to have that discernment, and that comes from that number three here. Would you have anything to do with an individual that was so bad and so evil that he killed his own children and he got rid of wives and killed a lot of people and he built Herod the Great, rebuilt the temple. And it was interesting that a couple of times regarding the temple in Jerusalem that Jesus went when he was there and he talks about the temple being my Father's house. Herod built it. One of the worst kings ever. Okay. That it was said about him that it was better to be his dog than his children. And Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And that was that temple that Herod built. Okay, so I'm just saying that I think the same principle is today, and I'm not saying this on a political sense at all, but it's just there are people that would not vote for Trump no matter what, because he's said some awful things and done some evil things, and I can't possibly put my approval on anything, even if it was good, because he's done evil things. We need to consider, you know, how we react and whether because a person does bad things that there can't be some good that comes from it. Even your laws here in this city, Romans 13 verse 3 says, rulers are not a terror to good works, says, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what's good and you'll have praise from the same, for God is minister to you, or he's God's minister to you for good. So even the laws of the land, they're not going against God's laws. Don't drive 125 miles an hour on a 45 mile an hour street. Good law. Okay. Some pretty evil guys have made some of these laws. Okay. So, we've got to discern what's good and bad. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, since you died with Christ and were made free from the ruling spirits of the world, why do you act if you still belong to the world by following rules like these? He says there's a difference between the world's ways and God's ways, and you got to determine what's the good and the bad of them. And if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. And he says in verse 21, he says that some of the rules that are out there in religion, don't eat this, don't taste that, don't touch that thing. It says these rules refer to earthly things that are gone as soon as they're used. They're man-made commands and teachings. In verse 23, it says they seem to be wise, but they're only part of man-made religion. They make people pretend to be proud, or pretend not to be proud, rather. and make them punish their bodies, but they do not really control the evil desires of the sinful self. Now, he's saying that these ascetic practices, some people do it for really wrong reasons, and they appear to be righteous, but they're not. You have to determine, is it wrong or evil to be ascetic? Which is, deny yourself certain foods or things. It is, you do that when you fast. You deny yourself. It's kind of a little bit of asceticism, but or to do good. But these things fall short of true godliness. We need true godliness. There's something more than just doing good. Matthew 19:17, Jesus said to them, if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. The young man said, all these things I've done from my youth, but what do I still lack? Okay, so there's good that humans can do. But he said, even keeping the commandments, he said, that's not enough. There's a greater level of doing good. This is where we'll get into number three. Jesus didn't call him evil for keeping the commandments from his youth, but he said, there's something more, and then he gave him a little bit more to do than just doing what might be even natural to man. And this is where we come into category three. It's those who live to do God's will. It's those, that's your main desire, your main goal. It's every part of you, and you work to resist evil and absorb God's Holy Spirit. You know, Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you know, you've heard it said of old, don't commit murder. That young man had not committed murder he was talking about, but he says there's something more to it. He says, when you go around defaming people and putting them down and calling them idiots and all these types of things, he said, that can get into the category of murder. There's a little higher level here than just doing good, and even God's good. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. And what did he say? Don't get it in your heart where you're lusting. And maybe, no, you didn't go out and literally commit adultery, but there's a higher level of thinking here that comes from God's Spirit. That's what we need to look for. One of the toughest ones that I think we all struggle with, and maybe you all don't, but I do. Matthew 5:43, it says, you've heard the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies. To me, that's not something you can really do well without God's help. When there's somebody that's really done you wrong, he says, pray for those who persecute you. It says in verse 45 of Matthew 5, it says, in that way you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. He says there's a higher level of good, and that's the good that can only come through God's Spirit. That to truly do these things. There's a greater level of good needed that human nature is not capable of. He says, let this mind be in you which was in Jesus Christ. And that's the mind we strive for. Turn to Romans 12, verse 2. This will be close to Romans 8 then, as we're concluding here. Romans 12, verse 2, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You've got to renew that human nature into something greater than our normal human nature or things that we would naturally normally do, good or bad. He says that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. And that's where that Holy Spirit comes in. That's where the calling comes, that we discern the will of God. How does he want us to think? How does he want us to act and to react? He said, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So again, a person can love God and say, I love God and I want to keep the Sabbath, but I know the Sabbath is Sunday and I want to worship Jesus, so I'll give gifts on Christmas, and, you know, in their own minds be reasoning that this is pleasing to God. But you have to take the scriptures, as the sermonette brought out, and say, what is acceptable to God? And use God's Spirit to please God, not just add things for ourselves. Romans 8, verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5 says, those who live as their human nature tells us, this is a Good News translation. Those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. If you're leaving God out of the equation, you're going to be going off at some point. Now, you can have a lot of good things, but you need to determine what is God's will and what is perfectly acceptable. It says, those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. Now, this isn't the Holy Spirit doesn't control you and make you do something, but when God gives you his Spirit upon repentance, baptism, and laying on of hands, then there's that conscience there that tells you, no, this is not really right. I want to do it the way God says, not the way that I want to go or that somebody else wants me to go. Verse 6 of Romans 5, to be controlled by human nature results in death. Ultimately, without God, without God's Spirit, you're fully following his way, there ends up eternal death. It says to be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Again, not that the Spirit is making you do something, but it's there in your mind all the time. This is what God wants from me. This is the way I need to be reacting in a way that's not natural to me. It's not normally, and you plead for God's help to help you to do the right thing because, you know, your mind is thinking something different. Verse 7, and so people become enemies of God when they're controlled by their human nature. For they do not obey God's law. In fact, they can't obey it. And the way that God says, and Jesus said and expanded it, love your neighbor and love your enemy. Do good to those that are evil to you. It's not normal. It's not internal. That's something that comes from God. Verse 8. Those who obey their human nature can't be God, or can't please God, but you do not live as your human nature tells you to. Instead, you live as the Spirit tells you to, if, in fact, God's Spirit lives in you. And that whole section there in Romans 8 is talking about the conversion, having God's Spirit, and then acting accordingly and living accordingly. Choosing to do the thing that in your mind you may not want to. And that sounds good. However, Houston, we have a problem. There's a most discouraging and concerning chapter in the Bible, which is also one of the most encouraging chapters in the Bible. And that is Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 can be very encouraging, but there's also a discouragement to it. Paul, after 15 years of conversion, says this. Romans 7, 14, the Living Translation, Romans 7, 14. So the trouble's not with the law, for it's spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I'm all too human, a slave to sin. Still got human nature. even though I got God's Spirit. I'm all too human. You ever feel that way? When you're trying to fight this battle that you're fighting? Romans 7:21, he says, I've discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do it wrong. When you gossiped, when you should have kept your mouth shut, when you forgave, you didn't forgive when you should have, instead of holding a grudge. There are all kinds of things that we find ourselves short. And he says the same thing you do, I believe. Verse 22 of Romans 7, I love God's law with my heart. But there's another power within me that's at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that's still in me. Got that human nature, and it's going to be a battle. Up until the time you're changed to spirit being at the return of Christ. Paul knew he was contending with human nature, and scripturally continues to tell us that we need to be like Jesus Christ. But God recognizes that struggle. It can be daunting to become like Christ, to overcome that human nature that's still in us. But here's literally the saving grace. That's in Romans 7, verse 24. Romans 7, 24, the English Standard Version says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, the law of sin. You really want to do God's way. You live for it. That's why you're here today. This is what you want. This is what you're looking for. You want to do God's will, but you still go out there and you're going to make some mistakes. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. This is your life. This is what you're choosing to do. It's the way you're choosing to live. And I hope you'll die doing that. Or change to spirit being at the return of Christ. Whichever comes first, and we'll see. Well, we have the Spirit. We've got God's Holy Spirit, and we only win through Christ's mercy and Christ's grace and Christ's sacrifice. That's the only way we win this battle. We still must contend with human nature. We've got to choose the right way. And part of choosing the right way is recognizing human nature, recognizing how it's going to pull against us, and realizing that we can help it to help us to move forward and do the right things. It involves understanding the human nature. As Paul said, I recognize this human nature in me. And he struggled, and he worked at it, and he succeeded. He said in the end that he knew he would. We've got to choose the right way. My next sermon is going to be entitled Lessons Learned from the Laws of Human Nature. How can we use God's Spirit to understand and properly direct our human nature to do the overcoming that we're told to do? What are some practical applications that can help us to become more like Christ? Now, I'm taking it from a book, actually, that's written by somebody not in the church. So, yeah, you can learn things from people. He studied human nature just from his own perspective. And what is human nature? How does it react? And what are some principles? And it's a book called 10 Lessons, or an article, 10 Lessons to Learn from the Book Laws of Human Nature. It's quite interesting that he says, what makes people work for the good? And what are things you can do that go against things that help people have relationships and make it bad? And we're going to go through some specific things in life that we can examine. And I as I went through his 10 lessons from the laws of human nature, I found biblical principles that actually, yeah, he's right. Like treating people well. To be a good leader, you've got to have these certain qualities. And he just discovered that by looking at human nature. It goes right down exactly what the scripture says, that if we apply God's spirit, we can become more like Jesus Christ and more like God wants us to, by using God's spirit to overcome the bad part of human nature and to capitalize on the good parts. Anyway, that's my... You maybe find it interesting. Okay, and if not,